We do literally come to the table this morning. We've been talking over these past weeks about the Lord's table, about being invited into His presence. We've talked about what that means, what the idea of the table that's mentioned all the way through the Scripture, or the altar, or the tables, or the altars. But today, we're here. We come to His table. In our way of celebrating things like this, we call it the Lord's Supper, the bread and the cup. Some people practice that bread and cup in different ways. We're going to do it in a little different way this morning. We'll explain that in just a few minutes. But I want to ask you to turn your attention to God's Word in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John, when on that Thursday evening, before Christ was put on the cross at 9 o'clock that following morning, the Bible says that Jesus and His disciples came to the table. It didn't look like this. It wasn't what we would necessarily think of as a table. It was very low to the ground. They didn't have chairs and upright tables like we do today. But the simple fact would have been maybe just a wooden platform with cushions, couches, if you will, the cushions from a couch, as we might say it, stuffed pieces of material that were spread across to where you would literally sit on the floor and recline into a couch, perhaps this way, so that you could use your right hand to take the things off of the table. If you had conversations, especially to someone on your right, you would almost have to turn your back to the person on your other side. That's the way they envisioned and came to the table in the first century. And the Bible says that they gathered in an upper room on that Thursday evening. And it says in the 13th chapter of John, beginning in verse 1, "Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that His hour had come, that He would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. During supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, that He had come forth from God and was going back to God, Jesus got up from supper, laid aside His garments, and taking a towel, He girded Himself. Then He poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with the towel with which He was girded." Our English translation today has done us a favor. They've made two sentences out of these five verses. The original language, this is one sentence from the beginning to the end. Hard to read. It's one clause after the next, divided by a comma. But I want to ask you, as we prepare to come to the Lord's table this morning, to focus on three things that I see in these five verses. Three things that if we will understand them, and I really would say these three things we must understand if we're going to have any idea of how to approach and take this bread and cup this morning, understanding that we have been accepted into God's family. What are those three things? They are found in the passage. It says, "Now before the feast of the Passover." First thing we have to clue in on today is this idea of Passover. You see, every time the Gospel of John mentions one of the feasts, be it the Feast of Booths, or maybe the Feast of Pentecost, or this one, the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Tabernacles, it's called in other places. This is the high feast. This is the most important feast of all. And every time John mentions it, it's because Jesus is taking that Old Testament celebration and He is making it His own. What was the Passover? The Passover was the Jewish way of understanding and knowing and looking back to when God rescued His people from Egypt and He brought them out of bondage and gave them a promised land. But for Jesus, the Passover was much more. He was the center of the Passover. He became the sacrificial lamb, the perfect, sinless Passover lamb. They sacrificed an animal annually to represent that sacrifice. But now Jesus, on the eve of his crucifixion, is calling himself and is applying the great principles of the Passover to his own life. And so everything from this point on will not look back, but it will look forward. It will look to his cross that we look back on today, yes, but we will look forward to his eventual return. So my friends, we have to understand this Passover, as we come to his table this morning. There's a second thing we have to understand. It's in that first verse as well. It says that Jesus, at the time of the Passover, knowing that his hour had come, this hour, his time. What does it mean? Is it looking at the watch and counting off 60 minutes? No. It's much more than that. This hour has been mentioned since the very beginning of John's gospel. Go back and read it for yourself. People would try to force Jesus into doing something, and it would always, his reply would always be, or John would always comment and say something like this: no, Jesus couldn't do that because his hour had not yet come. He took bread and fish from a boy's lunch and multiplied it to a great miracle and fed thousands. And they wanted to take him immediately and crown him king in Jerusalem. And the Bible says that Jesus said no, and he escaped from their presence and he slipped away. And the reason? Because his hour had not yet come. But now, this verse tells us his hour had come. What hour? What time? Well, most of us are going to say it's the cross. And indeed, that was part of the hour. The hours that Jesus would spend upon the cross, beginning the next morning at 9 o'clock until 3 o'clock that afternoon. The 7 words that he would say that give us a timeline and an idea of what he was thinking and what was happening during those hours upon the cross. Certainly, yes, those were part of his hour. But it's much more than that. His hour also points to his visits with his disciples after his resurrection and his eventual return to heaven, where he waits for the proper time and the proper hour to return. You see, we've got to understand that. We have always got to be doing things on our timetable. And this is all about his hour, his time. We gather at his table this morning because we acknowledge that long ago, the greatest hours in the universe were those that he spent upon the cross. And the greatest hours in the universe were those hours he spent visiting his friends after he rose from the dead. And the greatest single hour in the universe, if you want to look at it that way, was his ascension into heaven. His time. His time had come. Then there's a third thing we've got to look at. And it's found in the action that Jesus, the things that he did, the act of service. I would simply say his supreme love, because this verse tells us that Jesus, knowing that it was his hour at the time of the feast of the Passover, he looked at his friends and he loved them to the end, it says. He loved them to the fullest, another way of translating that phrase. And then what did he do to show as an example his supreme love for them? He took a towel and he wrapped it around his waist and tied it tight, long enough to where he could use one end of it to dry off, to wash the feet of his disciples. Can you think of anything more profound? You know, I've never washed anyone, or let me qualify that. I had never washed anyone's feet until I did so in a Lord's Supper service some years ago. I didn't have any idea what to think. I mean, feet are so, they're feet. They're so ordinary. They're not beautiful. They're not ugly. Well, that may be an opinion. There's so much a part of us, our feet. And to think of washing someone's feet never dawned on me until I had the opportunity to kneel at someone's feet. And with a pail, a basin of water, and a towel, wash their feet, put my fingers between their toes, dry them. I couldn't look the person in the eye. because it was that profound an act. Not something I did, but just the idea of what it signified and what it meant. And here is the Savior of the world at the Passover that is going to be His Passover. He is the Passover lamb. He is the reason for our deliverance and our acceptance. Here is the Son of God whose hour had come. And you would expect Him to what? You would expect Him to be high and lifted up as we sing and as we rightfully talk about Him, as we glorify Him. And yet here, to the very end, His example of supreme love was to do something like this. We've been invited to His table. And we must understand His Passover, His hour, and His love.